Welcome to AMD on the Hill, your opportunity to keep up with the latest policy and advocacy news from the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. AMD on the Hill is produced in association with AMD on the Go and available on the same podcast channel. And now here is your host for AMD on the Hill, Alex Bardock.
Hi, my name is Alex Bardock. I'm the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy here at AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. So as the year winds down, I just wanted to give you an update on what has been a pretty busy time in Washington over the last month or so. Of course, in early November, the first thing that happened is the election, which changed the landscape for Congress. As you probably all know, the House of Representatives will now be in majority Democrat. The Senate remained in the Republican hands and expanded its majority by a small margin. And so what that means for healthcare issues is that the committees of jurisdiction, so your House Ways and Means Committee and Energy and Commerce Committee, will now change leadership and will now be in the Democratic leadership as well as the Speaker of the House. That changes the agenda. That changes what kinds of items they may be looking at and what kinds of legislation they will try to pass. And of course, now the difficulty, even more difficult, to get legislation through between the House and the Senate. So that's obviously a big change, and we'll see how that happens. On the regulatory front, there has been equally busy. There's been a couple of things that have happened. One, and probably the biggest news, is the release of the annual physician fee schedule final rule. Within that final rule, there are two sections of importance. One was the CMS proposal to completely revamp the evaluation and management codes for office-based codes. The other, of course, is the implementation, the continued implementation of the MACRA statute, what's known as the Quality Payment Program for alternative payment models and MIPS. So very briefly, to go through the highlights on this, what happened on the E&M, as it's known for short, Evaluation and Management, revamp, AMDA and worked along many other societies since July to ask CMS to, number one, to decouple their proposal, to decouple the documentation requirements from the payment collapse that was required in the proposal. We, along with many other societies, sent strong message to CMS that we felt that the collapse of the payment system, the payment for office codes, was going to hurt those that treat complex patients, geriatricians, neurologists, and others. But we agreed with some of the proposals to reduce documentation requirements, to reduce administrative burden. On the good news front, CMS did listen, and they delayed implementation of the collapsing of the codes, for office-based codes, until 2021. So the payment for the codes for office-based will remain the same. Majority of their proposals on the documentation requirements front will also be delayed until 2021. However, they did make minor changes that will go into effect January 1st, 2019. One of those being how you document history of present illness. You will now be able to use previous notes and only have to document what's new with the patient rather than the entire history. So those are some of the good news on the E&M front. Moving on to the Quality Payment Program, obviously this is a massive pay-for-performance program that has been established since MACRA. And there's some good news again. You may recall in my previous update I talked about a skilled nursing facility quality measure specialty set that was included in the proposed rule. CMS finalized that proposal, so for the first time, CMS will now publish quality measures that are specific to the skilled nursing facility along all other specialty measure sets. These are not new measures. These are not new measures that have been developed. They've been in the program for a while. However, they will be published separately from all other specialty sets, so they will be much easier to identify for those that are practicing in the post-acute and long-term care space. The other good news is that we were able to secure the exemptions that have existed in previous programs, previous years of the program. They will continue to exist. These are from some of the cost measure exemptions for skilled nursing facilities, so you will not be penalized as much as you could have been had those exemptions not been in place. There's continued exemption on the promoting interoperability piece, given that Skilled nursing facilities lag behind all other sectors in adoption of HIT, and the fact that physicians in their practices don't control whether or not a nursing facility has a certified EHR necessary to fulfill the requirements. On the not so good news front, CMS did not adopt AMDA's request to lift the restriction on telehealth services for subsequent care visits to only once a month. They continue to state that that restriction is necessary because of the acuity of the patients. And while we agree that the acuity of the patients has gone up, we disagree with their assessment that it should be restricted to once a month. We believe it should be based on medical necessity. And you may know that CMS also recently released a report on their SNF value-based purchasing, and you saw that a majority of nursing homes were actually penalized for their high rates of rehospitalizations, and only a small number got bonuses. So at the same time, we know that telehealth interventions do help with rehospitalizations. These are CMS's own demonstration projects. And despite those factors, they have elected to keep that restriction. We will continue to work with other stakeholders and CMS to try and come up with a more broad approach to this, with a medical necessity standard rather than an arbitrary restriction that we believe hurts patient care and does not allow skilled nursing facilities to be innovative enough to improve their rehospitalization numbers, which have become so important in the healthcare system now. Those are some of the highlights in terms of the rules. The other big news that we want to promote is that we are revamping some of something that we released last year, and that is the Practice Group Network membership. If you've been to an AMDA annual conference and you've seen some of our releases, the Practice Group Network is really aimed at group practices, chief medical officers, owners of chains, practice managers, physician practice managers, who want to understand all of the different challenges between billing and coding. They want to educate their frontline clinicians on how to take care of this patient population, and they want to have a seat at the table to shape public policy moving forward. We are revamping the Practice Group Network benefit, and we will have more information about this. So if you'd like to see what it will look like, how your practice managers, how your frontline clinicians can develop as a workforce, can learn about how to treat this patient population, what are the regulations, and all of those things. In fact, also have a seat at the table to influence public policy moving forward. Please look out for that information. That's all I have for now. I hope everybody has a very happy and healthy holiday season and a great new year. And we'll see everyone in 2019.
References from this podcast can be found at paltc.org/policy. This podcast is not eligible for CMD credits. We'll see you next time here at AMDA on the Hill.